world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening, folks, and welcome to Hope is Alive this December 23rd, 2015. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And do we have Mr. Cox on the line as well?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Cox, and we thank you all for joining us. And Ralph, I'll turn it over to you, and I know you got a couple callers scheduled, and when they call in, I'll sure let you know.
Okay, thank you. Well, good evening, Everett. Good evening to you, Ralph. Another great day and great weather in Oklahoma. Pretty amazing for December. Well, we had some great weather here, too. A little rain, but you can't complain with when you've got 65, 66 degree weather in the end of December. It's just been awesome weather. Well, folks, we want to thank you tonight for tuning in to Hope is Alive. I'm Ralph, and on the other line, as Richard said, is Everett Cox, Senior Minister of Deliverance Ministries out in Oklahoma City. Before we get started, I would like to go to the Heavenly Father in prayer, and we will go on with the show. Father, we come to you, thanking you. This time of the year, we remember that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we are thankful that happened, because everything that Jesus accomplished here on this earth was to help us as Christian believers to continue in his work here on this earth. So Lord, I call down angels to protect us. I forbid any demonic spirit from operating against anything in any way, against this ministry, against this show tonight. And Lord, we just ask you to lead the testimonies we have tonight with the Holy Spirit. And lead both Everett and I with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the total answer to this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if I, well, thank you, sir. If I understand properly, we have a pastor named Paul coming on tonight and a lady named Sandy. Is that correct?
Yes, I think Paul, Pastor Paul, will be calling in around 10 after the hour. And he has a small full gospel church near Tulsa. And so he's going to come on and share some of his experiences and concerning this works of Jesus, this area that's commonly called deliverance. Kind of stepped over overall in the Bible, it seems. I didn't know about this works of Jesus until I was age 44, even though I was born again when I was 13 and went to church all those years. I had never heard about the practicality of this works of Jesus and what it would do to help people. That is the casting out of evil spirits. I had no idea about it. When did you learn about it, Ralph?
Oh, I learned about it and actually believing I can do it are two different things. I was born again about, I think about 10 years ago. I don't really remember the date off the top of my head. But it was 2005, 2006. But it was only recently, over the last couple of years, started realizing just how real the spiritual world was. And I think that training the Lord, it's been there most of my life, because the things I'd seen most of my life and just understood how they fit in with the gospel. And I started realizing that, hey, these things he's talking about are demons. These things are real, and these spirits affect us. And I thank the Lord that he has shown me deliverance, because my life is different. It has changed. I'm growing leaps and bounds in my Christian walk, and I am seeing just a better peace in our home, and understand that I'm going to be able to take this out and help people as I walk through in my Christian walk.
Yes, how awesome it is to learn that Jesus commanded believers to cast out evil spirits. And of course, most of us have never really known about evil spirits being around us. But who would have thought that problem areas like fear and depression and anxieties and all kinds of addictions that could be evil spirits, actually, and that they can be cast out and where they no longer bother the person. And of course, as we found over these years, I've been doing this works of Jesus 37 years now, most everybody that I minister to is already a born-again Christian. And so it became obvious very quick that Christians actually are the targets. And once you get hold of that, then you kind of want to learn how to shoot. That was where I came from. I wanted to learn how to use my weapons that we've been given from the cross, that we do have all power in Jesus' name to deal with these spirits, and we can get them out of people and out of ourselves and start living life abundant that Jesus has meant for us to have. There's so many Christians that are not living life abundant because they have evil spirits actually tormenting their lives and blocking them where they are not able to go forward doing their destinies and their ministries. So our mission is to tell it. And that's where we are here, even tonight.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, I was looking into your book yesterday and today to kind of think about some stuff to speak with while we waited for the testimonies. And on page 108 of his book that Pastor Cox has written, called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, he has a section called We Can Speak Directly to It. Now, I never realized how often in my life I wasn't directly speaking. I was always asking the Lord, send down angels. Lord, get rid of this spirit. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And I always was saying in the name of Jesus, but I never realized that I could speak directly to the problem myself, because I had that authority.
Do you want to add to that at all? Is what we're talking about here? You remember which? Obviously, you do. You wrote the book, but you remember what I'm talking about here?
Sure, I do, Ralph. And you know, I was the same way. I had no idea. I just like everybody else. I would tend to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, asking to do this, to do that, and so on. But as I started finally learning, since Jesus in John 14:12, he told believers that we are to do his same works, you know, in his name, and that we can do it directly. And so what you start seeing in this kind of ministry is in deliverance, casting out of evil spirits, and even in physical healing, you tend to move into doing it directly. Since Jesus commanded us to do that, Mark 16:17, in his name we shall cast out evil spirits. So we can speak to these directly and command it to go. So in deliverance, it is more of a commanding kind of ministry than a prayer ministry. Prayer works, and praise God, we all need that and do that, and God answers prayer. But how awesome to learn that we actually have been commissioned, commanded even, to speak in his name and do these things directly, as Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, and he gave us the power of attorney now to do it in his name. It's an amazing thing to get hold of, Ralph.
Well, he gave us a chain of command. I kind of look at it as this. When you tell your children that they can do something, and they constantly come back and ask you, well, can you do this for me? Can you do this for me? You know, sometimes it gets a little frustrating. Hey, I told you to go do it yourself. I told you to go do this. And I wonder if our Heavenly Father looks at us and, you know, puts the old palm in the face and says, but I told you to do this. You have the authority. Do it. And I often wonder at times if he is just waiting for us, watching as his children, just do it yourself and watch what can be accomplished.
Well, I think he is. There's a lady that goes to our church that I go to that had a spirit of fear of public speaking. It's a classic example of that. And she came from ministry. And, in fact, I worked with her, and she felt the spirit move up into her throat area. I remember I had the Bible against her throat, and it finally coughed it. She coughed it out. She told me later it was kind of choking her. But it finally came on out, and she was beautifully set free from that spirit of fear of public speaking. And what brought it to a head, why she had come from ministry, her company was sending her out to do seminars, and she would throw up and all before these seminars. Well, 6 months or so went by, and she just had more fun and the excitement of doing those seminars. But she was in Chicago in her hotel room getting ready to go down to the meeting room to do another one of these seminars, and this spirit of fear shows up. I mean, she feels it around her, and she finally just kind of locks up, she said. And then she finally got down on her knees and was praying out, Lord, Lord, help me. Do something. I cannot handle this. Well, out of his grace, the Lord spoke to Shirley and told her, Shirley, get off of your knees, stand up, and tell that spirit of fear to go in my name. Well, Shirley stood up and told that spirit of fear of public speaking to go in Jesus' name, and yes, it blew off. Now, Shirley should have remembered to do that, but she just kind of locked up, and the Lord, out of his grace, intervened and actually spoke to her and told her to do it in his name. So that's kind of where we all are. I think the Lord is expecting us to do it in his name. Amen?
Amen. Richard, do we have our caller on?
We do. Let me bring Pastor Paul on. Pastor Paul, thanks for holding, and welcome to the program.
Glad to be here tonight with you, Brother Ralph, and Brother Everett. Glad to be here tonight.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
Pastor Paul. Great to have you. Well,
great
Pastor,
to be here.
Maybe you could give some background on how you learned about this works of Jesus, it's commonly called deliverance, and to kind of share the reality of it and what a part it takes, what it does in your church. And by the way, if you have a radio on or your computer turned up, you need to turn it down, Pastor Paul. There's an echo coming in there. Yeah, can you turn it down?
Yeah, it must be in the other room in there that they can hear it. I can't quite recognize it. Can you hear me now better?
Yeah, I hear you better now.
All right. A number of years ago, I was brought into your ministry. I'd heard you, Brother Everett, when I was pastoring initially in Oklahoma City back in 1999 or 98, in that time frame, and you had a broadcast at that time, if I recall. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. And by the way, you might back off from the phone a little bit. It's kind of overdriving and distorting okay. a little bit. Why don't you try backing off from the cell phone?
Okay, I'll do that. And
yeah, that's better.
Can you hear me? Now that's much better.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was exposed to your ministry during that period of time. Didn't get personally involved for a number of years up until around the year 2010 or 2011. And at that period of time, became a bit involved. I moved away about 90 miles from Oklahoma City, and now I'm pastoring west of Tulsa, Oklahoma. But since then, I have had a number of my family, a lot of my church members come through the ministry, and I've seen great results in people's lives. And I just cannot tell you what it has done specifically, even for me personally, as I have... In my ministry, I've battled sometimes with unforgiveness, and over 20-something years that I pastored, you know, you're going to encounter times when other Christians are going to hurt you, say things to you, do things to you, and you'll be battling with unforgiveness as a Christian. You'll have to battle with it throughout a lot of your years, and I have really struggled with that, and it was bringing. You know, defeat, had rejection, and battling at times with a little bit of bitterness in my heart, even as a pastor. And so when I went through your ministry, specifically just even going through the door closing prayer, man, I just felt great relief even at that period of time, and how God began to liberate me in my ministry. And from there, the majority of my family, my children, have been through deliverance ministries, and a number of people from my congregation, and I've just seen a great turnaround. And even as a Pentecostal minister, I've been able to walk more into the gifts of the Spirit even more, seeing healings and miracles and mighty manifestations of God's presence as a result of going through deliverance ministries.
Praise God. And even your son, not too long ago, came for ministry, and has he done quite a bit better?
Absolutely. He's totally so much better. He had that battle with, you know, he would backtalk my wife and I and be a bit rebellious, but now we're seeing a total transformation. Our oldest son, if you recall, went through your ministry a couple of years ago, Brother Everett. And he has just been a dramatic change in his life. I've seen peace. He was filled with the Holy Spirit at the end of the ministry that night, and he started walking in the gift of healing specifically. And I've seen him pray for people, seen blind eyes open, deaf ears unstop, seen legs grow, seen backs straighten out, seen all types of miracles. Even in my son's life, as he's walked in it, and he just has felt more freedom, more liberty in Christ, powers over lustful desires, and the enemy as it comes against you, as he comes against your mind, he's had more freedom in his thought life. We were just talking about that just a little bit ago, before talking with you, and I'm just seeing a dramatic change in his life also. My oldest son. He's 22 years of age.
Praise God. That's a great testimony. You know,
no, absolutely.
It makes you wonder, well, how many other people are out there that are
have had those same kinds of problems going on and that need this kind of ministry, and yet so few Christians ever are able to receive it, or they don't know anything about it. I didn't either until age 44. I had no idea about it, but it's for all Christians to do. We kind of missed the boat in using some of the things that come from the cross for us. It's right there under our noses, and most Christians never utilize it their whole lives, and they never really do live life abundant that we're entitled to have.
We don't walk in the freedom that we have as Christians, and the power and the authority. We don't realize the authority we have. I've been reared up in a classical Pentecostal home most of my life. My grandparents were filled with the Spirit back in the 1930s, and I've been around the power of the Holy Spirit and the workings of it for years. And when I went to your ministry, I seen you one night as I was sitting beside you, as you commanded the angels to come, according to Hebrews 1:13-14. And I saw a man that was really, as he was under the demonic forces of darkness, he was just fixing to knock me and you out, basically. And you called the angel of heaven, the angels to come and tie him, bind him to that chair. And that was just amazing to me, because I've seen the instances where people and were ministers, and even I myself have struggled with people physically, you know, as we were trying to cast out the demons from them, and not realizing all the authority from even the Word of God and the authority that I have to call the angels of heaven to come, you know, and to stand and fight with me and for me.
Yes, it's so great to realize, if we'll call upon God's angels, that they are there to back us.
Absolutely.
What you described many times, Pastor Paul, where demons would start getting violent. And
soon
we'd say, in Jesus' name, you're bound, be still, violence, be still. It's like they can't move. And God's warring angels are obviously there holding them. Well, how awesome is that to know about? You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does that happen so often?
That's right. I myself, in my ministry, I've just noticed the last 3 or 4 years, I've been through your ministry now two or three times, you know, just to go back for what I call a tune-up, you know.
Right.
And even you have ministered to me, and I have seen, you know, myself even have, you know, more of a manifestation of the Spirit of God through the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in my life. I've never had that happen in my ministry, and I'm now 50 years of age. And the last 3 or 4 years, I've just seen a great increase in that, and I can honestly say that I believe that has occurred through going through deliverance ministries, and I believe every Christian needs to do this. It's vital. It's very important, because there's so many things that can hold them in bondage, and they do not realize. That has gone on, perhaps even in their past or their heritage, or things that they have bottled up and held for years since a child, and they need to get set free from those things.
Well, and yes, in that generational door, I'm convinced at this point, Pastor Paul, that it would be an extremely rare person that does not have some of the generational spirits coming through at birth. And unless they ever get them broken off, that know how to use the power in Jesus' name, like Luke 10:19, where we have all power, you know, if we use it, where we have all power in his name, and that we can break these generational curses off, etc.
Absolutely.
You know, over the years, I kept seeing, learning about doors, that the demons were coming through, and so I started putting a prayer together called a door closing prayer that is available on our website. You can print it off, actually, under ministry tools, and the audio portion of it is under self ministry, We have been having some problems with the website lately, but I think that's you right now I have to copy and paste to get it to come up. But those doors, if you can get them closed first, it makes all the difference in having easy ministry. We seldom see violence. I mean, months and months and months go by before we ever have to use the angels to hold somebody.
Sure.
Because of the door closing beforehand, the typical ministry is very low-key, no big deal sure. about it, even though many people do feel the demons departing. They, the lady sure. I had Monday night from Dallas, she coughed, she yawned, and she burped them out.
Wow.
It was obvious they were coming out, and she got the typical three dozen plus spirits. Actually, three dozen, I think, was conservative. Well, there's no way she wouldn't be better. If you drive that many spirits out of someone, how could they not be better? Well, they are.
Sure.
Those demons are not there for your health. So,
absolutely not.
As a result, just like you've experienced, your ministry opens up like it never did before, because the mission of those demons is to block Christians and using their God-given gifts, and to try to
absolutely.
Block them and to control their minds in every way to block them in doing their ministries. And they do it well. They do it very well.
I can't say enough, even also for, you know, the breaking of ungodly soul ties. I see that as a great detriment, you know, as far as people with so many ungodly soul ties today that I encounter as a pastor, and so many people are bound in that area, and I feel like that is a great one that we walk people through, and you walk people through, you know, on each Monday night of ministry, because there's so many people that have got these ungodly soul ties that is just holding them in so much bondage. And the freedom that
yes.
you experience after you get that broken, and we're living in an age of so much, you know, divorce and immorality that these ungodly soul ties have really brought a lot of Christians, you know, and they're walking in defeat because of it, and they need to get set free.
So true.
You know, I'm sorry, ungodly soul ties, somebody had sent me a video several months back explaining ungodly soul ties, and it was a real simple one. It was almost like it was set up for children. Used a little cartoons here and there on it, but I think the best way to describe it was take two pieces of cardboard and glue them together. And when you do this, this is the action of two people creating an ungodly soul tie. When that glue dries, and for whatever reason, the two people, which is represented by the cardboard, split apart, it leaves fragments of both on both pieces, and doesn't make the person whole again. And that little visual was just so good. It was only about a 3-minute YouTube video that someone sent me, and I think that's just a fantastic way to describe it. That's kind of the way I've been describing it with people. And I would say that if anybody didn't do anything else but these two things with the ministry, go through the door closing prayer and then break ungodly soul ties.
Absolutely.
I think it'd be better just doing those. Just those two. I think those, from what I've seen so far, and I'm starting to be introduced more to this and more, but I just see so much power in those two things. And I have not had a chance to really sit down and go through a full deliverance session with people, but I've done the door-closing prayer with a couple and the ungodly soul ties, breaking the soul ties with people, and I saw a difference in them in just a few minutes of dealing with that right there.
Yes, and that's why, as we learned about them, that's why we started doing that the first thing. We do an interview when we sit down with someone, and then we move into breaking of ungodly soul ties. And ungodly soul ties can form up a number of ways. One of them is sexually. Any sexual involvement outside of marriage will promote a ungodly soul tie. And those are doors. The the demons can come through to torment the person, the Christian. And there's lots of ways of following and associating with someone that's into evil kind of things, like drugs or alcohol, or just a lot of strife and fighting and all. Ungodly soul ties can form up. So there's a prayer we put together. It's in the book. I do have a book out doing the supernatural works of Jesus, and it is available on the Scriptures for America website and can be ordered there. But the prayer for breaking ungodly soul ties is in there. And that, as you say, if that's all you did, you're likely to help them. I ministered to a man today. This is not the first time he's come for ministry, but he had developed some new ungodly soul ties, and even in the pornography arena, and ungodly soul ties can form up there. So it's another way of getting people to the goal line of freedom so they can get on with their lives.
Well, I would think that just doing it on your end would even help the person that you had the ungodly soul tie with, and they may never go through deliverance. But I would think just from what you've prayed, and in that prayer, you're actually praying for that person as well too. And we know the power of secret prayer, how it could at least help that person as well too.
It works that way. I've seen marriages turn around just when one of the spouses was ministered to and taken through the ungodly soul tie prayer.
Well, praise the Lord on that.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Pastor Paul. And are you starting to do deliverances in your church now?
Yes, we do. We do them. My wife and I, and we bring up a lady that I've known of for years. That's out of Edmond. That's connected with your ministry. She comes and helps us too, and it is just really just so beneficial. We've seen just in the last few weeks we've been able to minister to different ones, and we're walking with them through the door closing prayer and going through your list that you have that's in your doing the supernatural works of Jesus. I can't anybody that's listening out there tonight, if there's any book you need for ministry that is so practical, you need this book that Brother Everett has, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. I wish I would have had this 25 or 30 years ago.
Gentlemen, I believe we might have a caller on the line.
Pastor Paul, thank
sure.
you for calling in, and
right,
we have
thank
another
you,
one to visit with.
Thank you, Pastor Paul.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. And let's see if we can bring Jack. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Where are you calling from, Jack?
I'm calling from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
All right.
Good evening, Jack, and thank you for calling.
Hello, Everett. Good to talk with you.
I had talked to Jack earlier about calling in. Jack has an interesting testimony of how he got introduced to this kind of ministry and what he's seen as a result. And Jack, maybe you could share that of how, you've been a Christian for a long time, and you even thought that Christians could not be tormented by evil spirits. So maybe you could kind of start there, how you learned that they can be tormented.
Okay, I'd be glad to. I've been serving the Lord. It'll be 40 years here pretty quick. I was an elder in a large assembly church for about 25 years, where we ministered weekly with anointing of the oil and praying for the sick, and you know, had a really busy altar for a lot of years. And I was introduced to deliverance ministry about 30 years ago, and I took a look at it and I said, well, that's not for me. And because I've had some indoctrination where a Christian couldn't have a demon. In 2006, I was sitting in the church that I was attending, and I was approached by a lady, and she said, we have a lady that needs to be prayed for, and because I was an elder, she approached me. And she said, where do you want to pray? And I said, well, just bring her down to the altar. The service is ended, so we'll just pray at the altar there. And as I got down to the altar and I knelt on one side of the altar and the ladies on the other, they began to tell me she had these problems. And then at the end of them telling me of all the problems that she had, they said, now she's a Christian. And through that statement right there, I didn't know where to go, because a Christian couldn't obviously be under the influence of an evil spirit in my mind. So I had a friend call me and tell me a little way to find out if someone had an evil spirit or not and was under the influence. Just say, Satan, I renounce you in the name of Jesus, so this come back to me. So I told the lady, I said, say, Satan, I renounce you in the name of Jesus. And she said, Satan, I ruh, and that's far as she got. She began to growl at me, and her eyes bugged out, and her teeth, her claws came out, and she began to tell me how much she hated me. And I thought, well, that's odd. She's a Christian. And she has a demon speaking out of her. So I was able, I didn't know the ministry the way I know it now. I've been ministering now in the deliverance ministry for about 9 years, going on 9 years in this type of ministry. And so I was able to deal with her and get her free of that particular spirit. But as I've learned lately, the last 10 years or so, that has probably got the head demon, did not come out, probably pushed up one underneath him and went on. Still, I wasn't totally convinced, and about a week later, a friend of mine called me, and he said, there's a certain person in town that needs help, and he needs deliverance. Well, I really didn't want anything to do with it, because the person that he was talking about, I had ministered to 15 years earlier, and he said he had dark areas in his life, so I laid hands on him. I said, you know, just pray more, read more, fast more, do more, and you will be fine. Now, 15 years later, I meet him again, and he is still in the same shape he was in. And so I really didn't want to do anything with that. I just thought I'd just skip that. But out of respect for my good buddy, I went ahead and went down to the conference room, and they brought him in. And I got up and prayed my prayer. I said, well, I just bind the devil, and I blessed him, and I asked you, Lord, I don't know what all I prayed. It didn't make much sense. And just done what I need to do. And I thought, well, nothing's happening. We might as well go over and have some Mexican food and just eat. And my friend, being a little wiser in the spirit than I was at the time, looked at the man and said, I'm not speaking to you, and told the man's name, but I'm speaking to the spirit in you. And the man began to manifest. When he manifested, I thought to myself, I wished I had fasted 2 weeks instead of two meals. Because I wasn't used to
Jack manifested? You might explain what that means.
Well, yeah, manifesting, he was contorting. He was sitting in a chair, and he began to kind of do calisthenics on it. He began to make sounds that wasn't of him. His face began to twist. He got on the floor and began to crawl around. He was just really having a rough time of it. And I thought, well, I don't even believe in this, but here it is right in front of me again. And the Lord spoke to me out of my heart as much as I've ever heard the Lord speak to me. It was out loud to me. And he said, you can either get up and leave, but if you decide to stay, you'll have to accept this as being true. And I said, Lord, I will stay. And when I said that, the gift of faith dropped up on me. And we began to minister to him, and he had eight different demons speak out of him, and we dealt with them one at a time as they began to talk to us. After that, I was called to the deliverance ministry. I was really thinking I wanted a little church I could minister in, but the Lord, he had different ideals. So for the last 9 years now, I've been ministering with Everett. We joined him about a week or two later, and I've been there ever since. And, you know, the one thing that we need to learn, we can't we can't crucify the devil and we can't cast out the flesh. There's two different answers. One answer is the cross for the flesh. The other answer for the devil is tell him to come out. He won't respect anything but come out. You can tell him, I bind you. You can do a lot of different things about prayer. But if it's the devil, prayer don't work. You got to command him. He'll respect the command in the name of Jesus, and he will come out, and people will get a lot of help. That's a short testimony of long 10 years.
Well, and of course, there's no telling the numbers, how many people you have helped over these 9 or 10 years, Jack, in this kind of ministry that probably would not have been helped otherwise.
Well, you know...
Interesting thought.
You know, Everett, we, as you know, we have people come from all over the United States. The other day I ministered from a gentleman from Arkansas, ministered people from Michigan, from all over the United States, and I think even a few come from overseas that end up in your sessions down in Oklahoma City. But what happens is when those people come in, they really a lot of times don't know what to expect. Of course, you know, you take them through the door closing prayer, you take them through the introduction, then we'll take them, you know, and you'll take them through the, we'll take them through an interview to try to kind of find out what's going on with them, and we'll end up, you know, breaking ungodly soul ties and doing inner healing. And, you know, then we'll do deliverance on them, and we'll do physical healing, we'll do limb check, baptism. So they get a Jesus overhaul. And I've heard you say 1,000 times at least by now, but that may be exaggeration a lot of times. What if your problem could just be cast out? And often we can just cast the problem out. Now, they will still have to bring themselves under discipline and discipleship. But we have seen often that people's problems can just be cast out when they're spiritual.
Yes. Yeah, that's an amazing thought because, you know, people have carried those problems and gone to doctors and psychiatrists, and years have gone by and they've never gotten their victory. And yet in one evening of ministry with so many of them, these problems are just literally cast out and they're not there anymore. And that's a pretty awesome thing to have in front of us that we can offer to help people. Well, you're getting pretty good at this, Jack. I know I assigned some pretty tough cases to you, as it would appear, and you breeze right through them.
Well, I've had a few interesting cases, and one I remember real well. We had a guy come in that was a previous member of the Hell's Angels, and but he had a lot of torment in his life because obviously he had opened a lot of doors. And even though he knew the Lord, the doors that he opened was still allowing the enemy to come in and torment. And often we'll hear the enemy say, I've been here a long time. Like being there a long time gives him a right to be there. Or he will say, I'm not going to leave. Or we'll hear him say, this is my house. So he puts up an argument over his right to be in a person, but his right doesn't make any difference. You know, if we use the name of the Lord and they renounce and repent for having the doors open, and we use the name of the Lord, they always get help. They'll come in with a face looking one way, all gloom and depressed, and they always leave with a big smile and happy and rejoicing. And that's what keeps us coming back every Monday night to minister to them.
Amen. That is the fun part. And of course, I try to ask people when they're leaving how they did, if I can catch them. Sometimes I'm still ministering, but the most typical answer as they're at the end of the evening, they'll say, why, I feel lighter. And yeah, it's like a blanket of heaviness that comes off. That's the most common term I hear them say, I feel lighter. Well,
yeah.
It's really exciting to see how they look, too. Sometimes they look even younger, don't they, Jack?
Oh, yeah, they look, they look altogether different than when they come in. And they will say just about every time, I feel lighter. And I always tell them, and kind of in a joking way, I say, well, the devil weighs something. So they always get help, and our encouragement would be for people that are listening and that are people that are under any type of oppression or depression, anything that they've tried to fast, they've tried to pray, they've read the Bible, they've had people pray for them, this, that, and the other, and they still haven't gotten help. That's a good indication that it's probably spiritual and they need deliverance. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of people listening tonight and they feel like maybe, you know, that's for everybody else and it's not for them. But the problem is if we think that way, then we'll carry that for years and years and years and we'll put up with it, we'll come familiar with it, and we'll just suffer with it. I ministered to a lady down at your ministry, Elder Everett, that had been under that type of burden for 57 years. And she come down from Michigan and she got free. So, I think that we could reach out to a lot more people and help a lot more people. They only understood that, you know, what we do down there, it's not spooky, it's not scary. We take care of the people that come, we treat them kindly, we love them, we're gentle with them, and we're just there to help them. And they always will get help. But when they meet the conditions of the Lord, I don't know of anybody that doesn't get help.
Yes. And that is a prerequisite. We do on occasion have people that are brought there. A relative has brought them, a spouse has brought them, and they're not really wanting to change. Well, God will not go against self-will. If they want to stay that way, they'll stay that way. But the ones that we help are the ones that are coming saying, I'm ready, I'm tired of this torment, help me. Man, we can take them by the hand and take them through the process, the steps that we've learned to do, and we get to that goal line. And usually in one evening, it's astonishing to me that we can see people's lives overhauled and turned around in one evening. Imagine the psychiatrists and all, how many years they work at it. And, of course, if you've got evil spirits sitting there, you're not going to counsel spirits out. You're going to have to deal with them with spiritual power, which is in Jesus' name.
That is right on. As you know, I tell people when I get to teach in some different places and some different churches and around, and get to do that, you're really the ministry that you've discipled me under in different places, plus on Monday nights in Oklahoma City where we do this ministry. And so I tell people all the churches, they have a big tree planted out beside each church spiritually, and every Sunday, in a lot of cases, not every church, but a lot of cases, they'll just beat the leaves off of them. They're dealing with a fruit instead of the root. And so we're able at Deliverance Ministry to get to the root of the problem and to get them some help. And a lot of churches will fail to say two words, and this is what I always tell them. We'll say everything but come out. That's what's needed on these deliverance sessions. We need to tell it to come out and order it out, command it to come out, and that's where they get the help out.
Yes, and to find out the doors that these spirits have come through, because if you don't get those doors closed or cut the roots that these demons have, then ministry is very hard. That's how we started. That's how I started 37 years ago. And it was hard ministry. We still help people, but it's like anything, if you keep doing it, you ought to get better. And we've learned about these doors. There's 15 doors we've identified that can allow demons to come through to torment Christians. And so we take them through that door closing prayer. It takes about 15 minutes to do that. And then we move into the other part of the ministry. But that door-closing prayer makes all the difference. So that's why we have low-key, no big deal about it, people sitting nicely in their chairs. And even though they feel them moving around and coming out, that's not a big deal. It's kind of nice in a way because you know you're getting something out, you know.
I've been to Africa and seen the ministry over there where I used to call it shouting them out. And, you know, we just get louder than the devil till they came out. And I think they got some help. but we didn't really deal with unrepented sin or unforgiveness or lack of honor toward our parents or the works of the flesh or pride or witchcraft. Sometimes we would deal with witchcraft if they had fetishes on. Drugs, alcohol, trauma, hypnosis, idolatry, rebellion, inheritance, curses, ungodly soul ties. All of those are open doors and many more. But once we can identify the open doors and get them closed, then people will get a lot of help. And unforgiveness, as everybody knows, unforgiveness is really huge. That's one of the big open doors. And I probably find that as the biggest unopened door, that people have as they go through life. They have unforgiveness toward people, and it's not dealt with in a proper way, whether they really get through and forgive people. And then they have to deal with the spirit that's coming through those people of the unforgiveness. And so, you know.
And especially, Jack's spirits of infirmity, just as Jesus cast spirits of sickness out in Luke 13, 11, and 12 in there, in that passage. And we found that the spirits of infirmity come through that unforgiveness door big time. Makes a huge difference if we can get that unforgiveness out of the way and they forgive everybody, including themselves, then they're very likely to get healed at the same time. It's the same process, really.
Yeah, unforgiveness is a big deal stopper with the Lord. You know, he says that He'll forgive us, we'll forgive our neighbor. The Lord said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our neighbors. Matthew 18 says that he won't forgive us if we don't forgive them. So I tell people,
yes,
you're like in a cell of torment with that unforgiveness. And I said, when you come out of the cell of torment, you have to come out with everybody because you have to let them go too. So we all get to walk free at the same time.
Yes, Jesus said you'll be tormented if you don't forgive, and that's exactly what we see constantly. But
when we're ministering down there, you know, one of the main things we cover, you know, is bitterness, jealousy, and envy, and condemnation, death, destroyer, control, confusion, and so on. And when we cover those things, you know, they always have, I call them cousin spirits. You know, they have families that go along with them. And a big one that we cover is rejection and heaviness and depression and on and on and on. We find out, you know, there's probably normally around 38 different spirits that we deal with that a person's contending with. And witchcraft is a big one because a lot of people mess with the Ouija board and horoscopes, fortune telling and stuff like that. And, you know, they may not even know that it's a sin when they come in. And they don't know the reason why.
Yeah, it's almost laughed at in our society today. It's almost laughed at. You believe in witchcraft. And how many people will, first thing to do when they open up a paper, I used to always go to the funny papers first, but I can remember a time in my life, let's go see what the horoscope says, thinking there was nothing to it. I just always thought, well, these are just generalized and vague, and you could fit them to anybody. But now I'm understanding that's fortune telling. Scripture says not to have a fortune teller around you.
Yeah,
that's
so exactly
true.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We become desensitized to the Word of God and what the Word of God really says about that. In the old covenant, if we were telling fortunes, we'd have been stoned to death. So the Lord looks on it. The Lord looks on it really seriously, and not only that, you know, but it opens the doors to the enemy. And his big trick is to stay secret, to keep himself hidden. And I'm afraid in a lot of the religious circles that we have really helped him do that.
Yeah. Well, the best way to be an enemy is to not even let your people know that there's an enemy against you. And I think of all the foolishness that's gone over the years to convince people that there isn't a devil, there isn't demons, and I think of the old Saturday Night Live. Oh, who made you do it? Satan? Did Satan make you do it? Or the Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. You know, that stuff was there. It's not by design. We know that Satan is the god of those airways. that you could tell by just looking at what's on TV. It's Antichrist Run, and they are protecting, some of them I think are flat out protecting their daddy the devil, but there's some are probably doing it because they're under influence of demons themselves and don't even realize what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, you know, and another way that the church gets deceived, or people in general gets deceived, is that there is a devil, but he can't bother you. But the thing of it is, if we get on his territory and we open the doors, whatever we will embrace us. So if we embrace the enemy and get on his territory, then we don't have the victory, or we have to gain that.
You know, I'm sure Peter thought the devil couldn't affect him when, right before those words were said to, by Jesus, Satan, get behind thee.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we know he's there. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, for that wrestle is struggle. So we are in a struggle. We have been given authority, all authority over the enemy. Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus gave the apostles the authority over the enemy, and he gave the 70 authority over the enemy. Then he gave us authority over the enemy. He said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. So just the believer. It doesn't take a super saint. I don't consider myself a super saint by any means. But as a believer, I have authority over the enemy once the conditions are met.
That's right. If you're a born-again Christian, you're already licensed to do this kind of ministry. You just need to get some understanding about it and go do it. That's why we can teach the ministers, the teams, come from churches all over around the metro. And as believers, we can train them on how to do this kind of ministry and share what we've learned and the steps we've learned, and consequently set people free and see them physically healed and emotionally healed. I might mention that. We see a lot of that as well.
Another tool I think the enemy has used is, over the years, when you see something on a movie or TV, it wasn't just the simple believer that cast out the evil one. You had to go to a priest or someone who had all these years of schooling, and they, you know, it was a fight. They would spend hours just to get this one demon out, and it's just as simple as come out in the name of Jesus. And I think another thing that's been put in people out there is convinced that, well, they can't do it because of the visualization they've seen from the television, the indoctrination they've been taught.
Back in the day when they had the movie The Exorcist out, you know, that scared a lot of people because it more or less glorified the power of the devil instead of the Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So fear of Satan is one of the big obstacles to people getting into deliverance.
It's nice to find out we're the ones with the big power.
We got the big guns because we're on Jesus' team.
Amen.
My big brother can beat up your big brother.
That's right. Well, guys, we are out of time. Fantastic program tonight, and want to thank everybody for joining us, and amen.
Thank you all so much.
All right, bless you guys. Right. Thank you for the opportunity. Bye.
Thank you.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take out.